So, dear Michael, how was the tour you did together with Judas Priest?
Oh, it was amazing. Queensryche has toured with Judas Priest before, and this was a great springboard for Queensryche to get back into the touring aspect after, the pandemic. And so we were very thankful, and we have a great relationship with them. And so we'll actually be touring with them again in October. So for 8 weeks, we'll be touring with Judas Priest again. So it's great to be with them. They're a band I listened to when I was a teenager. They influenced me a lot. All the bands with two guitar players, I was like just going, ah, this is so cool. So it's great to be able to play with them now.
Digital Noise Alliance, like production-wise, and the same goes for the arrangements, got really a in-your-face sound. And is that intentional? You even used some old Marshall amps from the early days.
Yeah, I mean it was the whole creation of the album was built on spontaneity. It was just coming up with a riff and then having Casey Grillo play a drum beat to it and then Todd figuring out a melody for it. All that was the new approach that we wanted to do with, having everybody in the room giving their opinion on the song, I think is it's really rewarding because it's happening in real time. It's not like emailing a song to somebody and then waiting for them to get it and then waiting for them to open it. And then waiting for them to listen to it, and then waiting for them to respond on it, if they even respond. And then it's a month later, It's like here it was instantaneous, it was, improvised, and songs just came out, five a day. To draw a comparison, in the early 80s when we started out, it was all five guys in a room. And we'd show everybody, your idea and their ideas, and we'd learn the songs, right? It was a lot like that. There's an energy flowing that translates into the songs. I think that, when people hear this album, I think they'll feel that energy and they'll be connected to it. And it's they're gonna hear, bits that remind them of the past, of the legacy albums of Queensryche. And it's for me, it's as the original guitar player of the band, when my ideas are coming out of my head, obviously they're going to have the roots of Queensryche in the guitar playing. So yeah, I think people will hear that in this album, as well as probably the modern approach that that DNA has as well. So it's a good blend of kind of the vintagey Queensryche in a modern sense. That the producer Zeus wanted to use my old Marshall heads. So he had the torpedo captor, which you plug the amps in, and then you have the speaker cabinets in the software. And they sounded great. I hadn't played my Marshall amplifiers in probably 15 years. So it was a lot of fun as well. And the sounds are very cool. Everybody's, praising the guitar sounds. So I'm happy.
And how much did the pandemic influence the creation of the new album?
I think, it was at first when I first met with Todd and Zeus, we were just gonna talk about the album and how we were gonna get it going, and then I flew to Florida and I didn't even bring a guitar. I just went there to just have a meeting, and Zeus brought his recording equipment. And he goes, "Well, let's just throw some ideas down." And I go, "I don't even have a guitar. I played one of Todd's guitars." And and we wrote some ideas, and then Casey Grillo came over because he lives in Florida too, and we had the electronic drum kit set up in the studio, and He would start playing a drum beat to my riffs, and that's kind of how they were built, and it was we come up with five or six ideas a day, so we had meetings like in January, beginning of February. I think we flew down, me and Eddie flew down four times, something like that. And each week that we were there, we just continued to keep writing. And that's how it was built. And that when we were done probably with the pre-production writing time, we had over 20 songs. So then Zeus said we gotta pick the 10 to 12 songs that are going to be on the album. And so we picked those and then kind of embellished them and worked on them more. And then in January of 2022, we recorded them. And that's, when you're in a pandemic, it's like, hard rock bands, metal bands, they promote their albums by touring. And if you can't tour, it doesn't really make sense to release an album. And we saw that. And it's like so many bands, in 2020 had albums already written, but they couldn't promote them. And that was unfortunate, So for us to slowly get back into it, and then, once things were safe again, to travel, we timed it right. And then, like you said before, we were able to jump on the Judas Priest tour and slowly start rebuilding our touring, so that we can promote things.
Tell us something about the superb artwork of Digital Noise Alliance and what is the meaning of physical albums in this digital era, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, the new wave of music listeners coming into this age are not really about buying CDs anymore. It's about going on YouTube and seeing a video of the band and then maybe downloading the music. And I think it's, sadly it's changing that way, because I think when a band puts out an album or a CD, it's meant to be listened to from beginning to end. And now it's more about, it's at least in my opinion, it seems more about the single song. And so things are changing. It's definitely and that's why more bands are touring, because less people are buying music. They're just listening to it on YouTube or, downloading it for a dollar. I mean, it's just like I said, you have to learn to adjust, and you have to figure out how to make your business work in this, digital media age. And Digital Noise Alliance is, even on a bigger scale, is just social media is influenced so many people, in telling them how to think and how to support what they want you to support. And that's, to me, that's all noise, that's all chatter, it's all sensationalism. And it's sad that, the digital age and social media is so hypocritical and so opinionated that you can't make up your own mind. They want to tell you how to think, and that's what Digital Noise Alliance is. It's these social media groups that are controlling everything.
And which is your perception of the first 10 years, along with four albums with mighty Todd LaTorre vocals?
Yeah, I mean, Todd's been with us for 10 years now, and it's been a great ride. I mean, he's done such a great job with Queensryche, and With each album, you know, we progress, and he just becomes better with each album. And you know, and then we tour our asses off, you know, so, and he loves that, and he loves, you know, singing Queens, New Queensryche, as well as the classics. And you know, we also found out he's a really good drummer. So, but yeah, it's great to be able to tour with him, and he's a team player, and I'm glad, you know, he's in Queensryche.
Why the choice to record a cover of a Billy Idol's masterpiece, Rebel Yell? What does it mean for you personally?
Well, you know, with the record company, we have to have, you know, like 10 or 11 songs, right? And that's what you're contracted for. And then they like extra songs, you know, bonus tracks
Bonus
or
track.
whatever. So this time, instead of giving a bonus track that's a live recording of one of our songs, you know, we said, let's do something different. So we came up you know, with the idea of doing a cover. So originally we were going to do a cult song, She Sells Sanctuary. And then, but Todd, you know, didn't feel comfortable singing that. So he brought up the idea of doing the Billy Idol song. So, and it was really cool. I mean, it's like we put a little spin of Queensryche in the song, but it's very, you know, reminiscent of the original. And Todd killed it on the vocals. It's awesome. So, who knows? Maybe we might play that live. I don't know, but it's something that I think people are going to be very surprised. You know, they're going to go, "What?" They're going to scratch their heads, and then as they listen to it, they're going to go, "This is badass."
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any favorite like memories, and which memories you'd rather not have from like the 80s and the early 90s with a very different era from nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great memories. I mean, you know, when we won the Viewer's Choice MTV Award, that was great. Playing Silent Lucidity at the Grammys with a, you know, 40-piece orchestra. There's so many great memories, you know. Bad memories, well, yeah, Brazil.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're having a great time. We're keeping the Queensryche machine going, and you know, we've had to make some adjustments, obviously. But the machine just keeps rolling, and it's you know, you to be a touring band right now, you have to be able to adjust. And adjust with the touring, you know, adjust, you know, with inflation. And so it's, you have to rethink your game. You have to rethink your business plan. And, you know, the opportunities are out there, but you just got to work harder for them. So it's learning to adjust in this, you know, environment that's sometimes not too kind as far as for touring bands. So, you know, we're fortunate that we can do this and we can tour. And you know, I think the industry's slowly coming back, but it's definitely harder for bands to tour now.
Which are your favorite artists and bands outside the metal area?
Well, when I grew up, I mean, I was listening, you know, in high school when I started playing guitar, I was listening to Jimmy Page. I was listening to Van Halen came out, blew me away. So I was listening to kind of the British invasion of the 80s, you know, with all the metal and the hard rock. That was really cool to me as, you know, as a teenager. I thought, That's awesome. I love playing guitar loud. I love it playing fast. I love the bands with two guitar players, like Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, all those guys. That was super exciting in my life back then. And those were big influences in choosing my path in music.
Yeah. And apart from the obvious promotion of Digital Noise Alliance, what shall now expect from the future of Queensryche and apart from touring?
For us right now, it's just tour, tour,
Yeah.
tour, promote, promote, promote. And that's something that hopefully we can do for a couple of years. So, and then after that, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do next. We seem to put out albums every 2 to 3 years. So right now, this one's coming out October 7th. We're totally psyched. We're jumping on the Judas Priest tour, and then first quarter of 2023, we're doing a Queensryche headlining tour, and that's going to be awesome. So that consumes our lives.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
it.
Which final message and greeting would you send out to the Italian fans? And have you got any like fondest memories related to Italy?
Well, the obvious, everything you eat there tastes amazing. The food is incredible. But yeah, we love Italy, and it's we have lots of memories, playing the different cities there, and it's the people are very passionate about music. Just tell your promoters to bring us over.
Yeah.
I've spoken with our management and booking agent, and they're saying, for Queensryche, probably maybe the fall of 2023, maybe. It all depends,
Yeah.
it's got to make sense for us, and things are getting very expensive over there, and it's hard for us to travel. I mean, before the pandemic, we would go to Europe 2 times a year,
Yeah.
and tours. So it's we're just rebuilding the United States and Canada right now, and next is Europe and the UK.